Hey, this is Michael Bender and my lovely wife,
Valerie Bender.
We're here today with your podcast. We're reading from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 10 out of the New Living Translation. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. When I am weak, then I am strong. So what struck me first when I read that is talking about the third heaven.
Yeah, that totally tripped me up too.
Yeah. Like, I remember hearing stuff about seven levels of heaven, but I'd never recalled coming across that before in the Bible about the third level. But my lovely wife did some more research in that, and it's just the different levels that they used at that time, with the first being the level that the birds were at, and the second being the stars. Then the third level is beyond the stars, and you're with God.
Yeah, like the spiritual realm. That was helpful just to kind of look into that a little bit, maybe because I'm a little bit of a Bible nerd. I don't know.
You are a little more researchy than I am.
So that was just helpful to kind of understand that a little more. I think that a lot of things get lost in translation sometimes for me. So I just kind of crave that study a little more to kind of see what is going on, because I don't always understand it. But I think despite that part, I think I can really see here that Paul's describing this miraculous experience with being in the presence of God. And so I think that was the part that I took away from that, was just being in the presence of God. And I heard a few times in that passage, "I don't know, but God knows." And so that kind of just helped me redirect to what is he talking about here? He's talking about just being in the presence of God and dependence on God and what God knows and what I don't know.
The other part that kind of tripped me up too was the thorn. Like, the passage almost makes it sound like God gave him the thorn, which is just a topic that I would struggle with, that God gives someone weakness, gives someone a problem. But it happens throughout the Bible with the story of Lot, being that Satan is allowed to do things. It's just odd to me that it would really seem to hinder his ministry.
Yeah, why would God do that? I think I struggle with that reason. Like, why was Paul given this figurative thorn? Was it given by God or Satan or sin? And I think I step back from that a little bit. And I think we really have to be careful about attributing sin and its consequences. Like, we have to be careful not to attribute that to the Lord, because brokenness and our experience with brokenness and evil things, they're not of God. They're not what he wants for us. They're not from him. God's heart breaks for us when we walk through things like that. We saw that just in the fact that Jesus is God with us. His name, Emmanuel, it means God with us. And so he walked the human experience and he knows what it's like. And he was sent so he could redeem what was messed up. So I think I have to take a step back from that and remember to kind of put things in their rightful place. And that being said, I do think that God can and does check us. By this, I mean our reason for being is to glorify Him. And when we're on mission with Him and we're being called into something by Him, the point is to see Him, the Redeemer. And I think that the Holy Spirit will check us, rightfully so, because as we follow Jesus, we want the focus to be on Him. So I think for me, it's important to distinguish between what is going on here. What are we thinking about here? What I see about the character of God is His compassion, and His will for our lives is good, and He wants us to be able to do good. And so even though we are experiencing negative effects of free will, He works to sustain and equip us to be that good and to have good in our lives. So I don't know. Where does that sit with you?
Yeah, I think ultimately God wants us to do well and that His grace is enough for us. It's just hard to feel that when there are times that you are successful and then there are times you are unsuccessful and you feel like your faith has been constant throughout that, that it's not, oh, I was faithful then, I wasn't as faithful and that's why it wasn't successful. It's a odd dichotomy to tear apart. It's easy as a human to, in good times, when you are successful in work or whatever, this project came off well because of what I did. And also that it really, you know, God had a large input in that. But it's harder to see because you were in a good place and it came off successfully. When you are struggling with something else, you know, and you're not in as good of a place, but something still comes off successfully, it's easier to see God helping you through those hard times because you're weak. So I feel like that was kind of what He was doing with Paul at that time, with giving him a thorn to continually show that it's through God's strength.
Yeah, I think about just how to discern that. And I think about kind of a question about who would want to stop you from boasting, for lack of better terms. If we're boasting about like our own doing or our own successes, or if we're boasting about the goodness of God and the work in our lives. And so I think about who would want to stop that. So who would want to stop us boasting about God, about His greatness and His goodness? And that's not God. God.
Right. It would not be God.
Yeah. I want to circle back to the concept of brokenness and enduring things that are hard. And I want to say that we're not talking about self-harm. God does not want to inflict pain on ourselves or on our loved ones so that we can become more like Him. Stressing and burning yourself out for the sake of ministry or for the sake of better things for your family, or donating beyond your means so that it's going to put you at risk of safety, or like self-critical behavior or self-sabotaging. That's not God's desire for someone. And so I don't think that God, through this passage, I don't think He's asking people to endure abuse. So I just want to say to anyone who might be listening to this podcast, that if you find it hard to know if something you're experiencing is from the Lord, God's not a God of confusion. So talk to someone who you trust. And if you're in danger, get out and get help. And I just want to point out that Paul did that. Like, bad things happened, but he didn't see it as like a call to just persevere without question. The verses just before this, he referenced a time where he'd escaped through a window in a basket. So I want to point that out because I think that these verses bring things up. And I think it's very hard to decipher that and decipher what's going on here.
Yeah, and especially if you're just focused in on one small passage.
Yeah. I think really hard things, failures and disappointments and tragedies, they happen because the world is messed up. And I see that Paul sees the things that stink, but that he can focus on the end game, that he can focus on that this is about glorifying God and knowing that this is not the end of the story, that we have promise in Jesus for restoration and that things will be better. So I just wanted to kind of circle back to that.
All right. So should we close in prayer then? Lord, thank you for all that you have done and the word that you have given us and the questions it raises, but also the strong times, the good times for us that we can feel your presence and enjoy your wonderful bounty for us. Amen.